Well, I'm so excited to share with you today, and you know, this is kicking off with 2 Kings 13. I have scripture that's going to show up, and you have this in your notes, and so I'm going to hit the ground running on this, 2 Kings 13. The scripture's coming up in a hurry. I'm going to tell you, this is kind of what it's about. It's the king of Israel is in a mess. Anybody ever been in a mess? Anybody in a mess now? I wrote a letter to someone this week and appealing to them to come be a part of the family of God. And one of the statements I made is that, you know what, we're all a mess. But here's the good news is that Jesus makes messages off of our mess when we lean on Him and trust in Him. Amen? Oh, come on. You're living proof of that. I see a lot of trophies of grace in the house. And I'm so thankful for you. But King Joash was the king of Israel, and he was in a mess because the Syrians had come against him, and he was in trouble. And he went to Elisha, and Elisha was the prophet of God, the man of God, and he is at that time like the representative of Jesus. Okay, here we are in New Testament, New Covenant. It's Jesus that we look to now. King Joash went to Elijah to get a hold of the Lord, okay, for help in this matter. And I want to tell you, you may be in a mess, you may be in trouble. That's easy to happen on this journey. But Jesus is a very present help in time of trouble, and all the saints said. Amen. We love that about the Lord. And so he came to Elisha, and this is what Elisha told him to do. He said to take up the bow. I'm not going to take time to read these scriptures. I'm going to kind of tell you the story and jump right on in, okay? But these scriptures are here for you to go back and look at 2 Kings 13, 15 through 19. And I'll just kind of tell you this right quick. And he told King Joash, he said, grab the bow and arrows. And he did. And he said, now you put your hand on it. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Now, this is a very important part here. So if you understand, King Joash is holding the bow with the arrow, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And then he told him, he said, take the bow and the arrows, and he said, and shoot it out that window, shoot it out to the east. And this is what he did. I think that's verse 17. Help me out with the verses there. Yeah, there it is. Open the window, and he shot out. And this represented the victory of the Lord. And what this means is that he was holding the hands of the king as he shot the arrow of victory. They were in agreement. Now see, this is like God, you and the Lord in agreement for the victory that God's given you. Because he said, this is the victory of the Lord. And so Jesus has won the victory for us on the cross, and you are not in this journey alone. As a matter of fact, he promises us, and he's a God that cannot lie, that he is forever with you, that he's with you. He will not forsake you, nor let relax his hold on you. Is that a beautiful picture? And so whatever you do, your victory in the Lord, you're not out to accomplish this by itself. It's victory from the Lord, but the Lord's hands are on your hands to help you receive, by faith and agreement with the Lord, the victory that He's won for you. Is that great news? Yeah. You see that here? Boy, it's really beautiful. In verse 18, says this, and he said, he told the king, so he lets go, and then he tells the king, now take the arrows, and the king takes them, and he tells the king of Israel, he said, strike them on the ground. In other words, take the arrows that you have, and begin to shoot in the ground. And the king took three arrows, and so he shot three times, and then he stopped. Now I want you to see the next verse. The next verse says this, and the man of God was angry with him. Do you see that? Okay, listen. The Lord had promised and agreed. He agreed with God for total, complete, continual victory was his, and he agreed to it. And then he backs off and he says, now, this is the time for you to personally apply by your faith what I've won for you. What I've won for you, it's time for you to express, to agree with what all I've won for you. So you take arrows and you begin to shoot in the ground to represent how many victories you're going to have with the victory that I've already promised you. And he shot three times and quit. And so the man of God, representing the Lord, was angry at him. And he said, why didn't you strike the ground many times? Why did you limit receiving victories from the Lord when he's already promised you complete, overwhelming victories, and you only agreed to three in the expression of your faith? So I want to tell you, it's possible for us to limit God. It's possible for us to receive partial victory, little victory, when the Lord's promised us big victory and continual victory. And so this is a very, very important point. And I want to pick out just a couple of things here. What the Lord is saying to us this morning through this story is that it's very, very important. Jesus has paid the price on the cross for its finished works, for complete victory in our life, no matter where you've come from or what you've been through or where you live or what your financial status is or what your family says about you. I'm telling you, the Lord has promised you victory, and he's not limited. He is the I am, the more than enough for you. And he's saying to you, what are you going to agree with me for? Express your faith for victory. And so it's very, very possible what the Lord is saying is pull the trigger. And we pull the trigger when we agree with God and we confess it, we agree with it, and we act it out. We pull the trigger. And you know what he's saying to the people of God today? Don't limit me. Don't limit the amount of victory that you walk in. Believe big. I'm a big God. I've won complete victory for you. Believe big. I'm a big God. Have big faith and believe big. And agree with me for big things. And don't limit me. The Bible says in another place, yet if ye hindered the Holy One of Israel, it's possible to limit him. Unbelief does that. It's important to say no to limiting God. We need to renounce the curse of small-mindedness. This is one of the biggest diseases in the body of Christ, is small-mindedness. God's not limited. With God, all things are possible. It's very, very important that we renounce the disease of nearsightedness of faith. Nearsightedness of faith. It's important. See God big. Believe God for big. Have a big yes for God. I'd like to put it like this. Keep it simple. Saints, keep it big, keep it simple. Because God's big. And the simple part is our agreement with the Lord. To agree with everything that he has for us. And so by grace through faith, we receive it and we walk it out. Now, keep pulling the trigger. Keep practicing receiving. Now, I want to bring out this because I want you to catch this. This whole event that we see taking place between Elisha and the king of Israel, Joash, this whole event was taking place in a private manner. It was in a private manner. But the victory would be public. Now, I want to tell you that's an important point right here because this points to Psalm 91. This points to Psalm 91. What we practice in private, we'll experience the blessing of publicly. Private practice of faith in the Lord will result in public provision. Does that do your heart good? This is what we see in Psalm 91. Psalm 91:1. It points out that we are to practice the presence of the Lord. We're to practice being in the secret place, his presence. We're to practice being in His shadow, underneath His wings. We're to practice His presence. And when we practice His presence in private, and then we declare, like it says in verse 2, that we will say of the Lord that He's my refuge and He's my fortress, He's my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. This is what we practice His presence in verse 1, and we practice speaking what He is in verse 2. And when do you do this? Well, you practice His presence all the time. And in verse 2, you practice confessing what He is to you, what God says that He is to you. This is in private. I want to tell you, you know what? When a storm or when a war or when the Syrian army shows up on your doorstep, that's the time to practice it. Okay? But don't wait till then. We practice it privately, and everything else in Psalm 91 is the public provision of protection that God brings when we practice verse 1 and 2 privately. We see the public display and manifestation of His protection. Is that great? You see, that's the same with everything that the Lord has provided for us. Let's be clear. The Bible says, even though the world says that there's a lot of sadness and madness in the midst, Jesus says, I have joy in you. My joy is in you because He's in us. And He says, my joy I give to you. And He ties His joy to His word. I give you these words. I give you these sayings that your joy might be full. And so He's won His joy for us. He's won His peace for us. He says that I give you, and He says again, through these words, through my sayings, I give you peace. Not the world peace, but my peace. See, the world says that peace is just a lack of conflict. No, no, no. I want to tell you, in the midst of conflict, are you listening, saints? In the midst of a storm, in the midst of battle, in the midst of things happening all around you, you can know and you can receive and you can experience the great, overwhelming peace of God. Wow. Because He's real, His peace is real, and His love is ever flowing. His love never fails. His love never stops. Even when we do, His love does not. But I want to tell you, it's a very important practice in Psalm 91 and in verse 1 and verse 2 that we practice receiving His love by His presence, and we practice confessing His love for us. It's important for us to say, I want to tell you, whatever happens, whatever shows up on your doorstep, you can know and practice, the Lord is with me and the Lord loves me. What can separate me from His love? This event can't. This attack can't. All right? This situation cannot, because He's with me and He loves me. And it's very, very important to practice speaking what He is, because remember, His power and authority are released by our speaking. And it makes a big difference when a storm shows up in your life and you practice the presence of the Lord. And then you know that you are in His presence under the shadow of His wing. And then you speak it and say, the Lord is my peace. The Lord loves me. The Lord is with me. He's my refuge and my fortress. He's my God. I will lean and rely on Him. In Him I will trust with everything I am. I want to tell you, that is a powerful thing to do, to speak to your storm. Okay? And so instead of begging God to do something about COVID-19 coronavirus, instead of begging God to do something, and I want to tell you, I almost get tickled about it. I know people mean well, and I'm not throwing stones, but it kind of says something to me when there's movements in Christianity to let's get more and more people to pray to God about stopping this virus. And if we can get enough people to pray, then, you know, it's like we'll vote God in to stopping the virus. Or if we get enough people, I heard it this past week, if enough of us will cry out to God, God will hear and God will stop the virus. It's like we're going to talk Him into it. I want to tell you, repentance is good. There's nothing wrong with repentance, but I want to tell you, repentance doesn't change God. God's already for you. God's already paid the price for you. God's already won the victory for you. He's done it all on the cross. It's the finished works of Christ. I want to tell you what repentance changes. It changes you. It changes our hearts. It turns our heart from ourself and from our sin and our self-centered ways and turns our heart toward God. Then we can see God. And we can see what He's up to and what He wants to do. But that's our part. And so private practice equals public provision. And so let's recognize that He's already, by the finished works of the cross, by His stripes, He's already won the victory against any pandemic, any virus. Recognize the resurrection power that He's placed in us. This is not something we're trying to convince a great, great Father to do for us. I want to tell you, there's not a real dad with a real heart that would say to one of his children, I'm going to put sickness on you so you'll learn something. Hey, Jesus said even humans being evil know better than that. And so the Father is much more than that. He's not going to put a sickness on you to teach you something. Amen, Brother Tim. And so recognize the resurrection power He's placed in us and the authority He's shared with us, and let's believe it and practice it. Let's renounce and rebuke the virus. Let's tell the virus mountain to get up and be cast into the sea. There's more strategy power in that. There's more effective praying in that than begging God to, you know, love us enough to do something. Well, He already has. He loved us enough to send Jesus, His Son. There's no greater measure of love than sending His own Son to be punished for our sin and to be striped for our sickness to be removed. He's given us power, His power, over all sickness and disease. Now, Brother Tim, you done jumped up there on the high dive. Yes, I have. Who's going to join me? Because I want to tell you something. It's not that you won't ever get sick in this journey, because we're in a fallen world. We got flesh, and we got the devil, and we got the world, and all that kind of stuff. But I want to tell you something. When you're believing God for healing, and we're entering the last days, and the Bible says, Jesus said there would be pandemics, plural. Not one. There would be more in the last days. And all kind of wars and all kind of upheavals and disturbance and men against men and women against women type thing and family against family. I want to tell you, it's going to be a mess. But in the middle of it, His people can still walk in His peace and walk in His joy and walk in His love. And that's how that we're going to be bright light to a dark world. And so as the world gets sicker and sicker, we need to practice the reality of the Word of God and use our receiving by grace and our spiritual authority that He's given us to walk in greater and greater health and healing. While the world gets sicker, the church gets healthier. And I want to tell you, healing, as in the day of Jesus, will be like a dinner bell that'll attract many to Jesus. Don't you see that? I'm telling you, He, as far as He's given us power over all sickness and disease. Let's look at Bible. You want to see Bible? We believe in Bible, don't we? Matthew 10:1, and Jesus summoned to Him His 12 disciples, and He's sending them out on a missionary journey to give them practice about what it's going to be like in the future. All right? This is a practice run of what it's going to be like in the future. He wants to show them, give them hands-on training. And let me rush to say, if you stop and think that you're going to learn all that there is about walking with the Lord just from studying, you're wrong. Part of the way we learn spiritually is by doing. And so it's good to take in the knowledge. We need knowledge. But knowledge by itself can puff up. I want to tell you the type of knowledge that the Lord wants. He wants you to know Him. Very important that we know Him. And He wants to know us to know experientially. Not just with head knowledge, but also the understanding and the wisdom to live it out. And so part of the way we learn is by doing. Now, if you sat here and learned about spiritual authority and say, you know what, yeah, that's right, we can take authority over those things that come into our house, whether it's sickness, disease, or whether it's depression or discouragement, we can take authority, but you never practice it, you don't know it. We got to pull the trigger. Do you remember the story? How many arrows are you shooting right now? We got to pull the trigger. And don't limit God on it. But part of the way we learn is by shooting, by doing it, by practicing it. And Jesus summoned to him his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority. Has he given us power and authority? Yes, he has. Over unclean spirits to drive them out. You see, he's taken away the authority and the power of the darkness. He's taken away, the Bible says, and we covered in the series, the very power to harm us. All right, so we have authority over the enemy. Whatever the enemy does is illegal because Jesus won the victory on the cross, right? Over unclean spirits to drive them out, to tell them where to go and how to get there, to leave, and to cure all kinds of disease and all kinds of weakness and infirmity. Now look, don't be like one of those that says, well, Jesus just did that in that time, but we don't need that kind of power and authority anymore. That died with the disciples because now we have medicine. No. As a matter of fact, this pandemic has really exposed medicine for its weakness. And I want to tell you, that's why we need to be depending on the Lord. It's okay to use medicine. I take some medicine. It's okay to use medicine. It's okay to go to medical facilities. I show up there too sometime when they make me. But I'm here to tell you something. Your first dependence is the Lord. And even when you take a medicine, you take a medicine believing and trusting in God. Do you understand? Doctors, we're on the same team. So medical folk are on the same team as we are. We believe in health and healing. They just apply it a little different, and they apply it pretty well to the physical. And we know that there's a spirit, soul, and body. And so we try to minister to the whole man. And so there's a difference there. But you know what? There are helpers. And we're supposed to be on the same team. But this makes it very, very clear. I want to tell you, he didn't all of a sudden leave us powerless. And some people say, well, we don't need that power anymore because we have the Word of God. You know what? It's all the more. This is how we don't have Jesus walking around on the earth anymore, but we have His Holy Spirit in us, and we need the Word of God to reprogram and renew our minds. And so this is a part of what He's doing on the earth. It's not that we don't need power. We need more. And Jesus said, greater things shall we do. And Jesus said it was a greater blessing to not see and believe. And so I want to tell you, we're in a blessed place, a blessed time, but it's still important for us to practice it and to use that spiritual authority and practice receiving by grace. Receive what He's won for us and enforce it with spiritual authority and power and practice it. The next time a disease or a sickness shows up at your house, take authority over it. Hey, if you reach for medicine, okay, but let it be after you've prayed and taken authority, you've practiced receiving health and healing from the Lord by faith, and you practice renouncing the sickness in the name of Jesus, and then whatever medicine you take, it's just you're trusting the Lord. Do you understand that? There's no condemnation in this. I'm just saying that let's not limit God. Let's not just operate on a human level. Lost people do that. Hey, we're born again. We're a child of the living God. We have more authority and power to drive them out, to cure all kinds of disease. Somebody see, wait, does this say just a few disease? Oh, this means diseases that the doctors say are not incurable. Are you with me? Does it say all kinds? You think when the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible through men, that when He said all kinds, that He made a mistake? That He didn't mean it? Or does He mean it? All kinds. You say, well, Brother Tim, this is a new disease just invented. No, it's not. It's been around ever since Adam sinned. They just didn't know what to call it. They rake up names for it now. But I want to tell you, sickness and disease, and let me go ahead and rush and say that according to Isaiah 53:4, do we have that? No. According to Isaiah 53:4, He has borne our griefs. Borne means He's taken. He's taken away. Borne is like He's put them on His back. Like you put on a heavy backpack, a heavy load. He's taken our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and our distresses. You say, well, Brother Tim, my weakness goes back in my family heritage. Jesus took it on His back. You don't have to put up with it just because it was the hall, quick trigger anger. It doesn't mean that I have to walk in that. I can be free from that, and I have been set free from that. But that's one of the weaknesses. How about the distresses? Well, our family just gets all disturbed about this. They have ever since generations. We just get disturbed. You don't have to, because Jesus took it on his back. What about this sickness that just, now they know what to call it now, and they used to just call it in the cowboy western days, the nerves. My old nerves. I can remember as a little fella on Hall's Hill, I would sometime hear the old timers say, my old nerves are really getting to me today. My old nerves are working me over. I need one of them nerve pills is what they'd call it. And I want to tell you, back then they didn't limit the strength. I know one of my kinfolk that took one of the nerve pills because he was having a little trouble, knocked him out for 2 days. I'm telling you, that stuff was powerful back then. No restrictions. Have as many, as much of it as you want. I'm not trying to disturb anybody. I'm just saying that, you know what? There's greater power that we have. And you know what? All kinds of diseases were poured upon Jesus, is what I'm trying to get you to know. All kinds of diseases. Every kind. Sickness and disease was poured out on his body. Do you understand that? Just as our sins were poured out upon him, all sickness and disease of mankind was poured out upon him. And he took them away. And he told the disciples, so go cure all kinds of disease and all kinds of weakness. Well, Brother Tim, this is just, no. Don't make an excuse for it. Don't call it a friend. Don't call it something that can't be handled, because Jesus took it on his back. And every infirmity. And so there's different names now, but his name's above every name. Amen, Brother Tim. Amen. Every disease and infirmity was poured out on him on the cross, and he took them away so we can be free from them. I'm trying to get your hopes up. Matthew 10:8, he says this, cure the sick. Now, what he meant was, go beg God to heal the sick. No. No, what he meant was, is to go try to get these people to do all kind of spiritual exercises and spiritual aerobics so that maybe God will set them free. No. No. He told us to go cure the sick. Now, we know Jesus is the healer, but we're to operate in the power and authority to tell the disease, you're gone. It's enough. Get out of here. Be gone. Be set free. To raise the dead. Well, how much of that's taking place? Well, I'm telling you, it ought to be. Well, Brother Tim, how many have you seen raised? I haven't seen any of them yet. I've told four to get up, and they didn't do anything. But you know what? I'm still getting up to bat. Be aware, you might be next. But I want to tell you, it's not for our thrill factor. It's for his honor and glory. Hey, he told them, go cleanse the lepers. Now, I want to tell you, back in that day, Pastor, I know you know this. I'm just looking at you for an amen. But back in that day, there was all kind of rules of social distancing when it come to lepers. Yeah. Amen? But I want to tell you, Jesus did not practice social distancing when it came to lepers. His love was greater than the law of social distancing. Because the Bible says he put his hand on a leper and he healed him. Well, that was against the law, brother. Well, his love was greater than the law. Now, we know that's true, don't we? And he told him, drive out demons. And then it says this, freely without pay you've received, so freely without charge give. Now I want to tell you, it's hard to give what you haven't received. And it's very, very important for you to practice freely receiving. This is what Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, you see, it's about the being, not the doing. And when you practice being and receiving of the Lord, letting him love on you, letting him minister to you, then I want to tell you, it's easy to give what the Lord has ministered to you. It's hard to give what you don't have. You have it. You're just not practicing receiving it. Are you receiving? You are receiving, right? Well, if you're receiving, then practice freely giving. Practice it. We learn by doing. There's probably millions of people begging God for help right now. And some of it, not strategic, not effective praying, because of their lack of knowledge. They just don't know. Some of it's unbelief. It's like I've said before, they're praying, just rolling the dice. That can be a major factor. But hear this, he's already given us through Jesus the victory. He's already given us the overcoming. He's already given us the present help. And we can pray faithless prayers and we still get an answer sometime. You know why? Because God's gracious and merciful. Not because we prayed it right. All right? God's so loving and so gracious and so merciful. But that's not the most strategic way. That's not praying Jesus style. And as an overcomer, you can pray with authority and power. You can pray believing and receiving. And as a more than conqueror, you can see the victory of Jesus take place in your prayers. There are those folk that receive an answer through the Lord just graciously touches them and ministers to them, and they experience some freedom, they experience some liberty. I'm not saying it's real, it is real, but you know what it is? It's an opportunity for them to saturate themselves in Jesus and fill that area of their life up with light, with the Word, and with Jesus, and walk in their freedom. Many do not. Now, I know this may not go over very well, but you know, there's people that get healed or get set free from Jesus, and they limit the victory, and they end up walking back in a stronghold or a defeat or an area that the Lord set them free from, and a lot of times it's worse. It can be up to 7 times worse. You say, how does such thing happen? Well, the Lord touches them and sets them free, but they don't fill that space with the light, with the Word of God. They don't saturate themselves in the Word. They don't renew their mind, and they just get healed, and then they want to go back to their old lifestyle of living. It don't work that way. Okay? So it's very, very important that you saturate yourself in the Word and that you renew the mind. Now, I can personally testify when it comes to learning about prayer that I'm not an expert, and I want to tell you, over 44 years, I've done it all wrong at some time or another. I've done it all wrong. But I'm far from an expert. I was sharing with a spiritual leader in Tennessee, and he said, well, I guess you're an expert in this. No, I'm not. I'm far from it. I'm still learning, but I'm more excited about prayer and ministry and kingdom life than ever. I see a huge difference between strategic prayers of faith, praying the Word of God, praying the will of God, the desire of God, and using spiritual authority and power. I see a lot different results. And don't get me wrong. When we miss, and we miss, the Lord still loves us. It's not a judgment type of thing, but it's like I tried to share last week. There are spiritual principles that we can practice and receive. Just like there's spiritual, like there's principles of electricity. There's principles of faith. There's principles of prayer. And as we learn how to strategically pray, then I want to tell you, we have a lot different answers. It's not a gamble. I can remember a time, just to give you an example, I can remember a time in my life where I felt like I just was trying to learn, and I'm still trying to learn, but at this time I was operating out of a little less knowledge and experience, and I could remember that, man, as I'm praying for people, that if I would get intense about it and show the Lord how serious I was, then it would happen. If I could get my emotion lined up with a situation, and I can remember praying and trying to push power out my arm. Get out of there. Go. You know, now I'm making fun of myself, but I can remember preaching at a place one time, and man, the Lord was just moving and touching people, and the pastor was so touched, and he wasn't ready for a service to be over, and he stood up and he said, I'm going to tell you, he said, God's at work and we ain't going to stop. He said, all of you that got something wrong with you sick, come line up here. This evangelist is going to pray over y'all and God's going to heal you. And I'm over here just kind of resting in the Lord, and I go, what? It wasn't in my notes. I wasn't mentally prepared for this. I said, okay, I'm there to serve. I'm in submission to the pastor. I said, okay, pastor. And he takes me over to one end and begins to describe to me, this lady has got an eye problem and there's cancer behind her eye. And the more he describes how horrible it is, the weaker I get. And I'll never forget telling him, brother, I think I need to get warmed up on a headache or something. I just don't have any faith for this. Can I start at that other end down there? Yeah, it's amazing. I want to tell you, aren't you glad the Lord looks at our heart? Hey, man, I've done it all wrong at some time or another. But I want to tell you what I've learned is that the bigger the situation is, the more graphic and serious and impossible the situation is, it makes me smile bigger now. Because I want to tell you what I'm convinced of. It's not me, it's Him. I'm just the ambassador here. I'm just to speak His word and declare His word and practice receiving by faith. And I'm to practice spiritual authority and tell it to go. So I don't have to yell. I don't have to raise my voice. I don't have to get intense. I don't have to try to push power out my arm. I can smile and relax and depend on the Lord. And the bigger it is, I want to tell you, it's easier for me to have more childlike faith the bigger it is. Lord Jesus, we just agree together. Thank You. We announce healing and health on this person. And Lord, by Your word, we take authority over this cancer, this sickness, and we just command it to go. We agree together this is gone. And we speak life and healing on this person. Just simple childlike faith and let God be God. But somebody needs to pull the trigger. Somebody needs to shoot the arrow. We can't just all sit around and think about it and talk about it and say, God bless you and God comfort you as you die. No, somebody needs to pull the trigger. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But I want to tell you, we're seeing more touchdowns with Jesus than ever before. We're seeing more obvious answers to prayer than ever before. And is it healing? Yes, it's healing sometimes. Some people we have not seen healed and we continue to pray for. Look, it's okay. I heard a professor say in seminary, don't ever admit to the church that you don't know something. Well, I don't know where that came from. That's not in the Bible. But I want to tell you what's real important. And pastors that are listening, let me just say it like this. I don't know. It's just okay to say that. I don't know. Let's seek God together because I have no clue. And there's people that we've been praying for that we haven't seen healed yet. But you know what? I don't know. But you know what? Our part's to pray. We do the praying. We do practice receiving by faith. We practice spiritual authority. And we leave the results to the Lord. It's important that people that we pray for understand that we have loved on them when we pray for them. And if they're convinced that we have loved on them, if there's an immediate manifestation of healing, or whether it comes later, then you know what? God be praised, and God receive honor and glory if they know that we've loved on them in the process. Amen. I'm telling you, we've got testimonies of folk coming in that are capturing the truth of speaking to the mountain. Speaking to the mountain about God instead of speaking to God about the mountain. There's a big difference there. And I know that we're in the last days. This is not the last global crisis we'll see. But more than ever before, we need believers to believe as a lifestyle. To be a believer that'll take the arrows of the victory the Lord has paid for us and shoot the arrows. To pray and minister as the Master emphasized. You may be cautious about coming to church right now, and you may not be coming. You know what? There's no stones thrown from here. If that's where you are, peace be unto you. Be it unto you according to your faith. We bless you in the name of Jesus. But if you're not coming to the church, we still have a responsibility to be the church. And so wherever you are, be bold. You may be cautious about coming, but be bold in going. Be bold. I'm trying to be nice about this. You know, I had this little vision, which means I'm still a young guy. I had this little vision last week while I was studying that Daniel's in the lion's den. This is not in the scripture. This is Tim talk. It's just a little vision. But I had this little vision of the lions had names. Daniel's petting on them. the next morning, laying on him all curled up, relaxing and resting in his protection provision. But on one of the lions was named Virus. But the Lord shut its mouth. Daniel believed. One of the lions was named Financial Crisis. Daniel petting on the lion, resting in the truth of God's protection. Hey, one of them's called Broken Heart and Rejection. Daniel's petting on it because the lion has been silenced because Daniel's hearing God. Do you understand? I could go on. I got more names there, but I got more to preach. That may show up in a sermon one day. So you'll know when to say amen. But here it is. Let's learn together. Let's renew our mind to His Word. We may have to lay down our traditional way of praying. Can you believe it? But let's start releasing spiritual authority in us and through us. Let's start walking it out. Let's practice the truth where we live, which means let it start at home. I'm telling you, when someone gets sick at your home, that's where you start practicing. Now, if you're one of those that has to wait till you're up on stage or the lights are on or the cameras are on, you know what? That's just not real. If you can't practice privately, are you listening? Remember what we covered? I'm telling you, a private practice shows up as public provision. And so it's very, very important to practice it right where you live, right where you are. And you'll be one of those testimonies that we share about how this simple truth has revolutionized people's lives. Okay, I got a lot to preach in a little bit of time. I'm going to finish this. Watch this. I'm telling you, thank you for having faith in the house. But He's provided all these things for us to walk in and to live for, not just to tickle our ears. Psalm 91, 1 and 2 is very, very basic. I'm telling you, it's so basic. But I want to tell you, I don't care how spiritually mature you get, how big your ministry becomes, or how successful you are, you never outgrow the basics. It kind of tickles me when I'm ministering to pastors because pastors know the Word. I'm not teaching them anything new. I'm just reminding them of what they know. And so when a pastor calls me and he's burnt out and he's sad and he's depressed and discouraged, it's easy to get there. But when I start reminding him about the richness of Psalm 91:1 and practicing His presence and then to speaking it, with declaring what God is with their mouth, you know what they say to me? Oh, well, brother, wait a minute. Pastor Tim, I already know that. Give me something else. Okay? One pastor called and his whole family was sick. They were disturbed and sick. And he's asking me, what do I do, man? My whole family is sick. And I said, well, have you practiced communion? Now, brother, don't talk to me about communion. We did that Sunday. Give me something else. Okay, I have to say this. Okay, brother, it's not that you don't know it. You're not practicing it. There's a big difference between knowing something and practicing it. We got to practice it. All right? And it aggravates them sometimes when I say that. But here it is. There's no substitute for intimacy with God. No substitute. He promises that He will cause you to be in perfect peace if you'll stay still long enough and practice putting your mind on Him long enough, then He will bring you to perfect peace. That's His promise. But we have to practice the promise. Under His wings, at His feet. There ought to be a difference between believers and the world. I got to tell you, because this is part of what happened last week. I'm sitting on Pastor Don's ranch house on the back porch, and just to the east side of the house in that pasture, there was 14 calves and cows and calves. Now, I want to tell you, 14 calves all put together, it was a show to watch. They are so much fun. I was having a blast. But in one particular day, the rancher on the far end of the pasture down there, the rancher was working on some equipment, and he was doing some banging and making some noise, and they were convinced, someone in the herd was convinced that that was a hamburger maker. And the next thing you know, they took off in fright, running toward me, toward this end of the pasture, and all of them came with them. It was a herd mentality. And they didn't just jog. I mean, it was full-out stampede. I was loving it. And they run to the far end of the corner, and they all turn around and look back toward the sound. And then someone whispered in the herd, you know, he might be giving out treats. And so all of a sudden, all the herd stampede back toward, all of them running full tilt, little calves, cows running full tilt. I hollered at him, "You bunch of Christians!" You know what? It's a herd mentality. We're not supposed to have a herd mentality. We're supposed to have a shepherd mentality. Do you see the difference? Well, it makes a big difference. We have His everlasting life. We have abundant life to the overflow. You know what lost people are out in the world? They're the living zombie dead. Now, I don't know much about zombies because I don't watch them. Anybody that chooses to watch that mess, I cannot believe what you're inviting in your home. Well, Brother Tim, how did you see it? It was on a commercial. I just saw a few seconds and it was on a commercial. I don't even know what the commercial was about, but it shows these zombies, you know. Man, that's creepy, man. Don't invite that in your house. Don't invite that in your mind. But here's these zombies, and you know what I thought? Man, they're the living dead. That's what lost people are. They're the living dead. They're oppressed. They're downcast. They're fearful. They're depressed. And we are, according to the Word of God, joy unspeakable and full of glory. We are the portrayers of His peace in this earth. We are the living expressions of His love life. And so we practice freely receiving and we freely give. You got Jesus, you got peace. If you know Jesus, you know love. And there's a difference between life and death. A few decades ago, I was pastoring a church, and it was on a Wednesday night. And there had been a fire erupt right before Wednesday night. Now, when I talk about fire, I'm not talking about the burning fire. I'm talking about a soap opera. Had busted out right before Wednesday night church. Man, my phone ringing off the wall. And it was a soap opera, and you know what? I was the center of attention in it. And there was things being said about me that were absolutely not true, but the phones were ringing up all over that area. And I tell you what, it made me look bad. And I was hurt. I was wounded. I was mad. It was just minutes. I can remember sitting at my desk, and I could hear the people in the auditorium, and I remember thinking, I don't want to go in there. I don't want to face the people. I am so sick from this. I want to go to the restroom and take care of business. I'm so sick. I was physically sick. Anybody ever experienced this? And I want to tell you, I told the Lord, I can't do this. And the Lord whispered to me, I can. And He said, bring it to me. I want to tell you, it wasn't complicated. It didn't take a big education to do it. I just laid it out before the Lord. I gave it to the Lord. How do you do that? It's by grace through faith. It's not through your smarts or through your education. You just give it and yield it to the Lord. You surrender it to the Lord. And you know what? It was very, very important for me in this process to yield my rights, because my rights wanted to go defend myself. My rights wanted to go in there and present a defense case and take up for myself. But it's very, very important for me to yield my rights. And the picture I got was Jesus yielded His rights to get on the cross for me, and He wanted me to yield my rights for Him. And I want to tell you, moments after surrendering and yielding to the Lord, yielding my rights, there was such a wave of peace came over me. And I want to tell you, the soap opera hadn't stopped. Do you understand? But I want to tell you, I had such peace that the world don't know that's available for me and you. And I walked out in that auditorium, and I was able to speak love to the very people that had started fires. And you know what? I want to tell you, God did something that night on Wednesday night, and He caused there to be a love feast happen on that night. But listen to me. Listen to me. If it had not happened privately, I wouldn't have received the public provision of it. Do you understand? There's no substitute for intimacy with God. Where's the fruit? What fruit are you aware of in your life, in your home? We need to walk in what He's provided. This is an exciting adventure of discovery. His treasure is not hidden from us, it's hidden for us. Now, 3 John 1 and 2 tells us that this is God's heartbeat. Well-loved ones. Well, matter of fact, it's important for us to know at the onset that you are well-loved by God. If you're not convinced that you're loved by God, you need to park there and stay there till you receive personally the love of God overwhelming you. How long has it been since you've let the Lord love on you? Well, it's too long. Be loved ones, well-loved ones. I pray. This is a prayer in the Word of God. The Word of God is His will. The Word of God is His desire for you. Are you listening? The Word of God is what He wants for you. This prayer is in the Word of God. He's saying, John is saying, I pray. In other words, he's saying, this is what the Lord wants for you, well-loved ones, that you prosper, that you are successful in every way. Did you know it's the Lord's desire for you to succeed? For you to be blessed? This is His heart for you? For you to be blessed? Do you understand this? Look, and that your body be blessed. That your body be successful. That your body be healthy, may keep well. But the priority, the bottom line, the first place in all of this is that your soul be successful and prosper and be well. And so I want to tell you, it starts on the inside. He wants your soul. Is it well with your soul? If not, that's where we need to be. Because He's assuming and He's presuming by the Word of God and the Spirit of God that your soul is healthy, well, and successful. But that's where a lot of Christians have a problem. Because I want to tell you, if our soul is not healthy, our body may not be healthy. Our outside life may not be healthy. But if we're healthy on the inside, our body can be healthy. Our success on the outside can be healthy. Somebody say amen. Amen. So are you under attack? Are you a professor of the Word of God or a possessor? A lot of people will say something with their mouth, but they don't live it with their life. Jesus said that. There are people that praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He sees the difference. But I'm asking you, are you a professor of the blessing of God? Oh, when it comes to praise, you're the first one up. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But at home, you're not. Well, wait a minute. Maybe at work, praise the Lord, but at home, you're not. Well, look. Let it start at home. I'm not saying don't praise the Lord. I'm not saying not be a minister at work. But I'm saying, are you a professor or a possessor? Because if you're a possessor, it can be real at the house. Focus on and enjoy His presence today. Okay, you got to stay with me for just a couple minutes because I'm wrapping up here. Focus on and enjoy His presence today. This is important. Catch this. If you catch this, it'll help you this week. Learn to live in His present presence. Psalm 91:1. Be where you are. Don't get distracted by worry and fear. The New Testament, the parable of the seed and the soil, it tells that troubles come. The enemy brings troubles into your life to come and steal away the seed of God. He wants to steal the Word of God out of your life. And so here you are accepting the Word of God and you're excited about the Word of God. Then troubles come and then you focus and get overwhelmed by troubles. You allow the enemy to come and steal the Word of God out of your life. It's a seed killer. Do you understand? Maybe I need to preach on that. I love to. But you can't get distracted by worry and fear. Fear and worry always have this future date tag on it. Jesus, your shepherd, has you in His shadow. That's what Psalm 91:1 says. He has you in His shadow, and He paid the price for your freedom. So today you can enjoy a present day, today, peace, joy, love mindset. Now, late last spring, I was fishing up North Texas. And on this ranch, a little calf had just been born. I know that to be the case because I saw Mama and brand new calf come out of privacy. You know, they go private to have the little one. And then they bring the little one out to the herd to greet the herd. And so it was real cute to see the little mamas come around and greet the new one. And then the other calves wanted to greet, and mama would kind of keep the other calves away, you know, not too close. And so that very important, most important meal of their life, that first day, little calf was enjoying his mama. And as I was leaving, which was about noon, as I was leaving, hadn't locked and loaded the boat, I was pulling out, I come right alongside, new mama, new calf. And little calf had had such a big day, such an exciting day, they were just exhausted. And the little calf laid down to take a rest. I kid you not. I watched mama, because I stopped my truck and just enjoyed it. I watched mama, after the calf laid down, come around to the other side of the calf. So, new calf would be in her shade. She stood in front of the blazing sun and stood where that the new calf would be in her shadow. Now, you think the Lord wasn't ministering to me? Now, I want to tell you, if a cow knows how to do that with her calf, what are we to think that God's not doing that for us when He's promised in His Word that He would? We need to practice recognizing His presence. A key to mental and emotional health is present, today, right now, enjoyable mindset. And that's what Jesus gives you. A doctor can't give that to you. A drug can't give you the real thing. But Jesus can give you a right now, present, enjoyable mindset. And that's a key to your soul being restored. It's manna for today, one day at a time. More than enough grace for today. Every day He's rich in grace and mercy. And all the saints said. He also said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if your yoke is not easy, you may be doing flesh works instead of depending on the Lord. You may be depending on self. Okay? Is your load heavy? You may have things on it that God doesn't want there. You may have to do like I did and come and lay those things at His feet. God is seeking hearts that rest in the finished obedience of Christ. There's a scripture for this, 2 Corinthians 10. And I think we have that. It goes just like this. And this is talking about the battle of the mind, which is in the first season of spiritual authority. But I want you to look at the bottom of that verse. We lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. You see, we can even turn this, because I've watched people, teachers, turn this verse into works. That you got to battle it out. You got to work it out. You got to make it happen or it won't happen. No, no, no. Even with the battle of the mind, it's by grace through faith. You know what you do? You surrender it. Oh, Lord, I know that wasn't you. I submit that to you. Lord, I got on that wagon again. Lord, I just surrender this to you. You see, we're submitting and surrendering by grace and through faith to the obedience of Christ, not your obedience. Now, I'm telling you, when you capture that, you see, it's by His works. His finished works, not by me making it happen. He makes it happen when I simply receive by grace and by faith say yes and surrender to His obedience is what makes it happen. Do you see that? So, let's put the enemy on the run and we can freely give to many. I want to read what Angelique had given me. And we have it on the screen, right? Because this is something she confesses. And this sounds just like a little lady in our church. We call her the Bulldog of Faith. But this sounds like her. This is what she confesses. Listen to this. The limitations placed on my life are not true. I am overcoming limitations and attaining a new level of life. I reject the lies of my enemy. There is more for me. There is a purpose in my future. I am relentless in my pursuit. I will not stop. Does that sound like Angelique? You know what? That sounds like a believer. Because the world don't talk like this. The world wants to blame somebody for what they're going through. I just want to finish with this, and I'm finished. You remember Paul and Silas. I've pointed it out before, but it seems to fit here so well. In a very personal way, they experienced the joy of God while they were in prison. Not from doing something wrong, but for doing something right. And they were in a horrible situation. They were in a worse situation than you are. But the joy of the Lord that they served was so real and was so powerful and so much greater than the problem they faced. What they were experiencing privately, the Lord made provision publicly. Do you see that? I want to tell you, that's for you and that's for me. And that's the opportunity that He's given us. Received by grace, freely received by grace, and then use our spiritual authority to manifest and enforce what He paid for. I'm telling you, this is life-changing. The Lord wants this for you. Can I pray for you right now? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for these simple, powerful truths. And Lord, I just declare in Jesus' name that there is a yes to You in the house. An expression of faith from those that are watching. That yes, Lord, we want to pull the trigger. We recognize the victory of the finished works of Christ. We don't even know what all those things are, but we say yes to them. And Lord, we want to continue to shoot the arrows of victory. We want to believe for much. We want to believe for more. We want to walk in all that You have for us so that freely we can receive and freely we can give and minister to others. And we give You praise. And all the saints said, amen and amen.